The dust was clearing. The wreckage of the office loomed into view. Dumbledore's desk had been overturned. All of the spindly tables had been knocked to the floor, their silver instruments in pieces. Fudge, Umbridge, Kingsley, and Dawlish lay motionless on the floor. Fawkes the Phoenix soared in wide circles above them, singing softly. "Unfortunately, I had to hex Kingsley too, or it would have looked very suspicious," said Dumbledore in a low voice. "He was remarkably quick on the uptake, modifying Miss Edgecombe's memory like that while everyone was looking the other way. Thank him for me, won't you, Minerva? Now, they will all awake very soon, and it will be best if they do not know that we had time to communicate. You must act as though no time has passed, as though they were merely knocked to the ground. They will not remember."
"Where will you go, Dumbledore?" whispered Professor McGonagall. "Grim old place."
"Oh, no," said Dumbledore with a grim smile. "I'm not leaving to go into hiding. Fudge will soon wish he'd never dislodged me from Hogwarts, I promise you."
"Professor Dumbledore," Harry began. He did not know what to say first. How sorry he was that he had started the DA in the first place and caused all this trouble, or how terrible he felt that Dumbledore was leaving to save him from expulsion. But Dumbledore cut him off before he could say another word.
"Listen to me, Harry," he said urgently. "You must study occlumency as hard as you can. Do you understand me? Do everything Professor Snape tells you, and practice it, particularly every night before sleeping, so that you can close your mind to bad dreams. You will understand why soon enough, but you must promise me."
The man called Dawlish was stirring. Dumbledore seized Harry's wrist.
"Remember, close your mind."
But as Dumbledore's fingers closed over Harry's skin, a pain shot through the scar on his forehead, and he felt again that terrible snake-like longing to strike Dumbledore, to bite him, to hurt him.
"You will understand," whispered Dumbledore.
Fawkes circled the office and swooped low over him. Dumbledore released Harry, raised his hand, and grasped the phoenix's long golden tail. There was a flash of fire, and the pair of them had gone.
"Where is he?" yelled Fudge, pushing himself up from the ground. "Where is he?"
"I don't know," shouted Kingsley, also leaping to his feet.
"Well, he can't have disapparated," cried Umbridge. "You can't inside this school."
"The stairs,"
cried Dawlish, and he flung himself upon the door, wrenched it open, and disappeared, followed closely by Kingsley and Umbridge. Fudge hesitated, then got to his feet slowly, brushing dust from his front. There was a long and painful silence.
"Well, Minerva," said Fudge nastily, straightening his torn shirt sleeve, "I'm afraid this is the end of your friend Dumbledore."
"You think so, do you?"
said Professor McGonagall scornfully. Fudge seemed not to hear her. He was looking around at the wrecked office. A few of the portraits hissed at him. One or two even made rude hand gestures.
"You'd better get those two off to bed,"
said Fudge, looking back at Professor McGonagall with a dismissive nod toward Harry and Marietta. She said nothing, but marched Harry and Marietta to the door. As it swung closed behind them, Harry heard Phineas Nigellus's voice.
"You know, Minister, I disagree with Dumbledore on many counts, but you cannot deny he's got style.